Vegas, baby, Vegas!
At the end of the game, you count up your money. That's how you find out who's best.
If all my bets were safe, there just wouldn't be any juice.
The point spreads, the prop bets, the teasers, the parlays. From Vegas to you, this is Behind the Bets.
Welcome back to another episode of Behind the Bets with Doug Kazarian, presented by DraftKings, America's top-rated sportsbook app. Obviously, the Thanksgiving holiday is tweaking our schedule this week, so we're taping this on Tuesday. We actually have Mr. Executive Director John Murray coming up for the NFL pod. So early Tuesday, we'll do college football on Wednesday. Also try to sneak in some UFC as well. But obviously not the same sort of handle on a Tuesday when we talk about this, but Murray still will have good information. Thursday, we have three games. I'm big on the night game. We'll get into that. Also, the Monday nighter could have a huge liability for the book. So lots to digest, both positive in the bank, baby bankroll bonanza. So we're making a move late in the season, and let's get to it.
He started as a ticket writer.
Well, the handle has gotten a lot higher here in the last hour.
Now he's a race and sportsbook director.
I have the guys at work here calling me Mr. Director and not looking directly into my eyes.
With people.
Brought in a whole new staff this year. It's kind of a Seinfeld-esque move where we just rotate the guys so the material doesn't get stale, Doug.
What happened in between? A hot tub and ESPN.
Kicking is for losers.
Kicking is normally for losers, but the Rams do win last night on Monday Night Football with a kick. Good to be with the Mr. Executive Director and Morty Seinfeld with Tom Brady. Now 0-4 ATS in primetime this year, Murray.
Yeah, do you think it's because they're playing better defenses, or do you think it's really got something to do with him not being able to function at night?
Yeah, look, it's second halves are like mid-rem for him. So I just think the man goes to bed at 8:30, 9 o'clock. We can't ask him to play this late. He's going to petition the league for like a 7 a.m. kickoff in the playoffs.
Didn't Peterman try to order Chinese? And Morty's like, hey, if we're going to be here until all – no, Peterman called the meeting, and then Morty said, hey, if we're going to be here until all hours of the night, can we at least order some food? And it was like 5:15. That's Tom Brady as we end the regular season here.
So I've had a struggling NFL season, but I did get the under 293.5 on the show and then on SportsCenter taping. So it's good to get that W. Short week. We obviously have three Thanksgiving games. I want to start with the night game because that's obviously drawing so much attention. Baltimore, Pittsburgh. Ravens, I'm done. I think they are going to play hard what they think is playing hard, but I just think they're done. This line makes sense that it's 4. I think it's my favorite bet of the week. I like Pittsburgh here. What kind of action are you seeing given that Baltimore's got so many moving pieces here?
Well, we had the game off the board most of the day Monday. We put it back up here Tuesday morning. Most of the bets are on Pittsburgh, as you can imagine. And we'll probably, depending on how the early games go Thursday, we'll probably be exposed pretty big to the Steelers in the night game here. Both running backs out with COVID for the Steelers, or for the Ravens, excuse me. It looks like Gus Edwards will be the running back with Ingram and Dobbins both out. Baltimore did control the first meeting between these teams. I think we should keep that in mind. I know everybody's going to be in a rush to bet Pittsburgh, but Baltimore did control that first meeting, and they kind of gave it away.
You know, it's funny. This is a situation. I mean, I was on Baltimore in the earlier. They were up 10 with the ball in the third, so you're right. They absolutely did in the yards. It was just the turnovers. But Baltimore is just – I don't want to say the secret's out on Lamar Jackson, but it just feels like they missed their window. And I think – worst of all, is that I think they know that deep down. Like I said, they're going to come to play, but I don't think there's much in the gas tank. I think the Steelers pull away in the second half. That's my thought. I've obviously been wrong before, and I will be wrong again. I just can't back Baltimore here. I feel Lamar Jackson cannot throw accurately down the field.
No.
And
Lamar Jackson's a front runner. Lamar Jackson needs to have a lead and start running the ball downhill. He can't really bring you back from a deficit. And I don't really disagree with you that maybe the Ravens missed their window. Are they going to give Lamar Jackson a huge contract extension? I know he's not going to get anything like what the Chiefs gave Mahomes, but are they going to give him $35, $40 million a year? I don't think that they should. It's possible that the Ravens missed their best chance last season.
Yeah, and it came down to a few fourth downs against Tennessee in that playoff game. So – your Washington football team is at Dallas. Cowboys off the big upset of the Vikings. I shouldn't say big upset, but solid upset over the Vikings. Are we going to get a Prince of Props cameo here or anything along those lines?
Yeah, we're going to have the props out on Wednesday. So I will, you know, I'm not going back to Virginia this year. Obviously, I'll be here in Las Vegas, but I will certainly speak with him Wednesday, and I'll be sure to tag you in something on Twitter and tag Darren, our fine intern, as well. So I'll get something together there. It is hilarious that the Washington football group and the Cowboys are playing on Thanksgiving Day, and it's for first place in the division on Thanksgiving Day, and it's just a completely lousy, comical football game.
You know, we had to do stuff last night on our shared Google Doc for Daily Wager, and one of them is going to be NFC East standings and, like, the futures and who we like with based on the current odds. And honestly, I like the Giants. I think they have the easiest schedule or the least difficult of the four division teams. And I think I'd take them plus 325.
A really big break for the Giants when you look at what happened last week. Philadelphia loses. Arguably more importantly for them, Joe Burrow goes down. The Giants play the Bengals this weekend. We've got them at plus 3.25. We've got Washington at 9-2. And then we've got Dallas and Philadelphia at 2-1 each. It's hard to like Philadelphia, not just because they're playing so poorly, but also look at their schedule down the
street. It's so brutal.
It's a brutal schedule. So it's really hard to imagine Philadelphia winning this division with the way that Carson Wentz is playing and that way that schedule sets up. If Dallas wins on Thursday, they're certainly in pole position in the NFC East. But I know what you're saying about the Giants. They're right there too. It's funny, if Washington had got that 2-point conversion and beat the Giants a few weeks ago, you could argue that they would be in pole position to win the division. It's quite a division, quite a competitive group this year.
Quite a division is right. So Dallas laying 3, 2.5 at a couple spots. I couldn't lay it, but I mean, obviously they played well on Sunday, but that's not indicative of how they might play moving forward. Houston at Detroit, the morning game, no shocker. The Lions often on Thanksgiving have been home dogs, but home dogs to Houston. Big win for the Texans, though. That was a nice win over the Patriots. Romeo Crennel beats Bill Belichick, something I never thought I'd say, but I just don't trust this Houston team yet.
Yeah, and everyone's saying Houston because they just saw the game you referenced, Houston beating New England on Sunday. They also just saw the Lions get shut out by Carolina. Carolina playing with a backup quarterback. They cruised to a victory over the Lions. I don't know how Matt Patricia gets to still coach the Detroit Lions, but here we are. We're going to need the Lions pretty big. And that seems to be a tradition. Every Thursday morning, every Thanksgiving Thursday morning, sportsbooks around the state rooting for the Detroit Lions.
Yeah, I know. It's so sad. One of these days they'll figure it out. But Patricia can't be fired because he looks smart with a pencil in his ear.
Yeah, I said this on another show. I'll say it again. I mean, I made fun of Jim Caldwell a lot, but in retrospect, he did a great job in Detroit. Got them to the postseason twice. I mean, look at the dumpster fire that team is right now. And it's easy to say this now, but boy, I'm sure the Lions would like to go back in time and use that number 3 pick on Justin Herbert.
Yeah, good point. I forgot about that. Dan Orlovsky had a great rant earlier this season on what Patricia said about not having talent or whatever when he took over. Jim Caldwell left him talent. They were a 9-win team. I'm not 100% sure, maybe 8-8 or something along those lines. So go check out Orlovsky's rant. It was solid. And then other people chimed in too. Patricia's comment.
Two postseason picks. They lost wild card games to Seattle and to the Cowboys under Caldwell. And I thought they got kind of screwed in that Dallas game.
Yeah, I remember that call.
At the end of that game, Detroit probably should have won that game. So I think that's – I agree with Orlovsky. I think that's unfair of Patricia to act like he inherited some mess. I don't really think that's accurate.
Let's go to Sunday. I think this is my bonanza play. Atlanta at home catching a full 3 with the Raiders in town. Obviously a nice performance by Vegas on Sunday night. Patrick Mahomes, though, is Patrick Mahomes. He's the new betting favorite in the MVP race, but – It's a big ass off that high of at home to go to Atlanta here. I like the full 3.
Yeah, I was a little surprised that Andy Reid didn't just let your Raiders walk into the end zone there at the end. I don't like that's what I would have done. I would have been like, just let him score a touchdown. I want Patrick Mahomes to get the ball back with as much time and as many timeouts as possible. They were only down by a field goal, almost a sure thing that Patrick Mahomes is going to at least get him in for a field goal. I was surprised that the Chiefs didn't just get out of the Raiders' way, it didn't matter. Mahomes still just took them right down the field for a touchdown. I think this game, this Raiders-Falcons game, probably going to be our most lopsided game at 10 a.m. Everybody's going to bet the Raiders -3. We're going to need Atlanta pretty big, I think, in this one.
Remember, NFL handicapping, not that we've solved the riddle that is, but it's you got to forget what you last saw and just think about the effort and the focus and how much emphasis the Raiders put on that game. And now they got to go play what I think is a solid Atlanta team since firing their coach. Last week was weird because the Saints announced Taysom Hill on the Friday. Their offense wasn't gelling. Julio Jones was kind of in and out. So, look, the Falcons are still the Falcons. They always drive us crazy. But I think it's a good spot to fade the Raiders. I was looking at whoever Vegas was playing, I was going to bet on.
And it's a tough spot. It's a tough spot for the Raiders. I have to agree with you on that. Just the Falcons concern me, if I'm being honest with you. Anytime, like, to hear the words best bet and Falcons in the same sentence, I don't know. I don't know if I can go that far, but I know the books are going to need the Falcons for sure. Sunday, it's either going to be that one or the Bengals will be our biggest need Sunday morning.
Well, let's talk about that Bengals game because you have the Giants that are road favorites here, and that's something we thought we'd see laying 6 in some places, 5.5 mostly. I know it's Ryan Finley and not Joe Burrow. I know it's a dejected Cincy team. Bengals are bad, man. Burrow led the league with pass attempts per game, the offensive line, but Giants playing 5.5 on the road.
Yeah, when we put this number up last Tuesday, the 12-day number, we actually had the Bengals -3, and we had sharp guys take the 3 points with New York, and we went to 2.5, but we closed at 2.5 when these teams played last Sunday in their respective games, or I think just the Bengals played, whatever. We closed at 2.5. Now it's Giants 5.5. So that shows you how much Joe Burrow is worth to the line. That's a big part of that is because Finley is so bad. We talked about that on the show before where you don't just evaluate a quarterback and attach a value to the player himself. A big piece of it is how bad or good is his backup. In this case, Finley, not good at all, not an NFL quarterback. But I still think it speaks to how valuable Joe Burrow is for a rookie quarterback to go down and be worth a touchdown to the point spread is pretty impressive.
Yeah, that is remarkable, all things considered. Very surprising. Cleveland, 6.5, laying a similar number on the road here at Jacksonville. The Jags did not look good at all against the Steelers. It's understandable. I can't get behind Cleveland laying this kind of lumber on the road.
Yeah, it was funny. Cleveland was a big win for us last week. I saw other books talking about how they lost on that game. We had all this Philadelphia money here at the Westgate Superbook. I don't know why. I don't have a good explanation for that. We actually were rooting for the Browns. We'll need Jacksonville this week. They're saying Minshew may be questionable with a thumb injury. It's only Tuesday as we record this, but I know we'll need Jacksonville, but it won't be as big of a need as the Falcons or the Bengals.
What do you think about the Patriots, home dogs to Arizona? You got Kingsbury versus Belichick, New England off a loss, 2.5.
Yeah, they've abandoned New England. So everybody was against New England 2 weeks ago when the Ravens were in there. Then last week, everybody flooded to the window to bet on New England at Houston, and now they've just jumped right back to the other side. New England off of a bad loss to Houston. All the money's coming in on the Arizona Cardinals. It's the NFL betting market, it couldn't be more fickle.
I know. It really is remarkable, right? I'm guilty, too. I liked New England last week. I'm guilty. So the Vikings were going to run out of steam at some point. It happened last week. Kirk Cousins did lead them back, took the lead, but the defense let him down. So, yeah, you have Minnesota laying 4 at home to Carolina.
Yeah, the Vikings, they let us down, too, because we had a gentleman that bet the Cowboys +7.5. He bet that for $100K. And then we had some other bets on Dallas moneyline. So that was one of our worst games in the afternoon, which you don't really expect that when you talk about a dog winning outright. But really, that was one of our worst games. No McCaffrey for the Panthers. And Bridgewater's banged up too. He's got a knee injury. So it's interesting to see the job that Matt Rhule and the coaching staff are doing for Carolina. They're doing an exceptional job with that team. I don't expect this to be one of the more heavily bet games in the morning on Sunday.
No, I don't either. I will say I lost my small survivor pool. I really only had the Vikings left. I did not have any other options. So I had to go down with the Chiefs.
No Chargers?
I did not have them. In my big pool, I did. My okay. big pool, I did. So I took the
Chargers were such a good survivor play last week. I mean, it's easy to say that now, but they're playing the Jets, and you're never going to use them again. So you great. That was a great spot for the Chargers last week in survivor pools.
Yeah, no, I had to go with the Vikings. I did not feel good about it, but it is what it is. Interesting game here. Indy and Tennessee just played in Nashville on Thursday, a couple Thursdays ago. Indy's laying 3.5 or 4. Tennessee off the big win. I got to look to the Colts here. I know they kind of win ugly sometimes, and they're second-half team. They're a great second-half team.
Yeah.
But I still need to take Indy, I think.
You know, we had our most respected NFL group played Indianapolis Pick'em at Tennessee the first time these two teams met on a Thursday night game. So keep that in mind as you're evaluating this week's game. It's our best NFL group. They've been great this year, and they played the Colts in the first matchup. As far as this second matchup is concerned, it's pretty split right now. It's probably the best game, I guess, at 10 a.m. would be this matchup here. And there's been money coming in on both sides of this game.
It's funny you mentioned that Thursday night on Daily Wager. We were doing the picks for the game. I was like, you know, I like Tennessee, but an odds maker told me their best NFL better bet – Indy, so I'm laying off.
Yeah, that you know that first matchup, and then we saw that number move up quite a bit, and then Indianapolis won that game pretty comfortably. The wise guys seem to like Indianapolis a lot.
Every week.
They hammered them against Baltimore in the game that they lost. There was money on them last week in a game against Green Bay that really could have gone either way. That Green Bay-Indianapolis game could have gone either way pretty easily. But the Colts have been a very popular pick with our sharper players for weeks now.
Yeah, Preston jokingly said it a couple weeks ago. He's like, I want to know who the guy is that's moving the market every week on Indy.
it's almost every week we're just overloaded with Indianapolis bets. And I don't think much of Philip Rivers at this point in his career, to be honest with you. But I do like Frank Reich. I like the fact that Frank Reich wears a face shield and a chin diaper for extra protection. And you can't not like the Colts defense. It's pretty strong.
Talk about selling high. Frank Reich got out of Philly at just the right time.
God, it's unbelievable the mess that organization's become.
Really interesting game at the Ralph. Buffalo hosting Chargers. We know the Sharps tend to like the Bolt plus points. Here they are on the road. Buffalo's a good football team, man. So this should be a good game, even though the line wouldn't suggest – I mean, not suggest if it's not a good pick on the point. But I'm intrigued by this game.
Well, Buffalo, they would have been going into their bye week at 8-2 if they could have defended a Hail Mary 2 weeks ago in Arizona. 8-2 would have been their record. Buffalo's definitely a good team. They've got a good coach. They've got a good defense. They've got a good young quarterback. Buffalo really has all the pieces in place. But you're right. The Chargers, as a road dog, always seem to get money from the wise guys. That's been going on as long as I've been out here. And we did see a little bit of that this week. And I see the market coming down to 5 in a couple places or one place. We'll see. I mean, I would lean to Buffalo here, but I know that the sharp guys always seem to bet the Chargers as a road dog.
Oh, I like this next game. I like this game.
This is when the cream rises to the top. This is when things get hot. This is oven mitt time.
Yeah, this is oven mitt time. The Jets coming off a solid backdoor cover. I mean, that was textbook backdoor cover. I thought we'd maybe get the field goal off after the onside kick, but no dice for the Chargers laying the big lumber there. But here's Miami finally coming back to earth at 5 straight wins and covers, loses in Denver, something I should have seen coming a mile away, but I took the bait. Whatever, I did. I just had to lay it. They're laying 7 here at the Jets, and it's tempting to take Miami here.
Denver was our biggest winner last Sunday. Everybody was on the Dolphins in that game, and then we actually saw a lot of sharp money on the Chargers against the Jets. The Chargers did everything possible to let the Jets cover that game. They even kicked a field goal on 4th-and-1 when they were up by 12 to put it up to a 15-point lead. I don't even understand what that does for you, but that's Anthony Lynn for you. We'll need the Jets in this game. I think people will back off the Dolphins a little bit, though. I see that Tua has been named the starter for Miami, and that was a pretty unimpressive performance on the road against Denver. So you might see some people back off from Miami this week.
Is Flacco better than Sam Darnold?
No, I don't think so. I don't think so. Darnold right now listed as questionable with a shoulder injury. I'd rather have Darnold in there.
I think Miami's defense is going to tee off on that statue.
Well, the Jets are trying to lose, right? I mean, they're not even hiding it anymore. They missed two extra points last week. It's just blatant at this point that they're tanking for Trevor Lawrence.
I had a live bet on, I think, third quarter or second quarter. Whenever they missed the extra point, it was pretty remarkable. So I needed that missed PAT. New Orleans behind Taysom Hill on the road at Denver. This is an interesting game. Because Denver, we know about the altitude and obviously what they just did last weekend. Low total, 43.5. Obviously, the style that the Saints bring with Taysom Hill, much different than with Drew Brees. And Denver's offense is certainly pedestrian at times. We have an old-school NFL game, and I say old-school like a few years ago, with a 43.5 total.
Well, it's a low total. A big part of the reason is New Orleans is very good defensively. You know, all the focus last week on who was going to be the quarterback for the Saints, and they went out there and won the game 24-9. So I give a lot of credit to the New Orleans defense for that win. This is our most lopsided ticket count of the week. It's almost 50-1 on New Orleans. We're going to need Denver huge. I don't know if we're going to need Denver as big as we're going to need Tampa Bay in the other big afternoon game, because there's going to be so much more money bet on that game. But I do know we're going to need Denver in a big way here for sure. That could be our biggest need of the day Sunday, although I have a feeling the Monday night game is going to be a monster liability game for the books.
Okay, you've definitely teased. You're a media veteran. So you're saying 50-1 right now, ticket count, New Orleans to Denver.
15-1.
Okay, sorry, I misheard you there.
We say this every year when we do this Thanksgiving week show. Don't get too carried away listening to ticket counts. We are recording the show on Tuesday morning in Las Vegas. So this is a lot earlier than we would normally be doing a podcast.
Let's get to that Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay at home against the Chiefs, everyone's darling, and rightfully so. I mean, Patrick Mahomes is just stupid sometimes watching. It's silly. How good he is.
It's absurd. He went down the field for that winning touchdown like there wasn't even anybody out there trying to stop him. He's unbelievable.
Yeah, when Collinsworth broke down the touchdown pass to Kelce and how they went through the camera behind him and how he like looked like he was going to run the ball and drew the, I guess, middle linebacker up. He was 8 steps ahead of the guy. He's like, I'm going to do this, and then I'm going to throw to Kelce wide open. Instead of just throwing to Kelce open, he's like going to set it up and make him even easier play. And just so advanced how Mahomes is, and he's a kid, man. It's awesome to watch. He is the face of the league in so many ways. He's Steph Curry. The Chiefs are the Warriors, the peak Warriors. You know, obviously back when they were coming out and first broke into the NBA with their new 3-point shooting. But the Chiefs are on the road at Tampa at 3.5 now. I mean, what do you think this closes if you think everyone's betting on KC?
You know, I don't know that it'll – you might see some fours. It's possible. Tampa Bay gets a lot of support too. But Kansas City is by far the most popular betting team for the public every week. I mean, you know, I talked to your colleague David Purdom about the Raiders-Chiefs game last week, and he was somewhat surprised that we were telling him how loaded we were on Kansas City. And he said, I thought that everybody bet the local team, the Raiders. I said, David, they do every other week, but not when they're playing the Kansas City Chiefs and not when the Chiefs are a road favorite. This is the kind of game the public lives for. They can bet on the Chiefs. They can bet on Patrick Mahomes, and they've only got to lay a few points in their mind. The public is going to load up on Kansas City in this spot.
Yeah, you have famous words on this podcast. The public is a fan of the Raiders, but they're a bigger fan of their wallet.
Oh, there's no doubt. And Kansas City is the team that gets them the money, at least in their opinions, because they'd like to back the Chiefs every week. The Chiefs are the most – they're the team that we're against almost every week. And I have a feeling that people in my line of work are going to be against the Chiefs for a very, very long time, because Patrick Mahomes is pretty good. And I think he's going to be around for a while.
Rams, Niners, this is at 7 in L.A. What do you think this closes?
I wouldn't be shocked if it came down a little bit, to tell you the truth. I've seen the 49ers get bet down a few times this season. We had this game 6.5. We bumped it up to 7. Good win for the Rams last night. But they're not playing Morty Seinfeld at quarterback in a night game this week. All kidding aside, San Francisco is probably the most banged up team in the league. I don't think I do think we could see this number come down a little bit. I think 7 might be a little high.
Sunday night, Packers just laid an egg in the second half. 3 points, I believe it was, after intermission. Had 28 in the first half. Give the Colts credit, but really disappointing out of Green Bay. The fumble. I don't know what I can do with the Bears, but you guys have this number off the board.
Yeah, we're off the board right now, kind of waiting on a little clarity in terms of the Chicago quarterback situation. I see 8.5, 9, 9.5 out there on the market. It's going to be somewhere in that ballpark. But we're not going to put it up for betting until we get a little bit more clarity on who's going to be under center for the Bears. I'm sure no matter who it is, we're going to need the Bears. Green Bay coming off of a loss, and it's the Sunday night game. So you're going to have a lot of teasers and money line parlays rolling to the Packers for sure.
You mentioned it earlier. It could be your biggest need on Monday night. Eagles at home to Seattle. Seahawks bounce back. Both of us cash in the bonanza. We sniffed that one out. Seattle up to 5.5, 6 at one spot.
Yeah.
Road favorite on Monday night here.
And this is another just textbook example of the game the public gets involved in. They've got Seattle well rested. You mentioned they played last Thursday. 3 extra days to prepare for this game. They can go against Philadelphia, who's been a dumpster fire, who's looked awful the last couple of weeks, and they can lay what they consider to be a light number of 5.5, 6 on the road here. Well, this Eagles, it might be our biggest need of any Monday night game this whole season. It's already tracking that way, and we already have all these parlays going to Seattle, and that's on this is Tuesday morning we're talking. This game's 6 days away, and I already see the parlay liability building up on the Seahawks.
We broke down the game Sunday morning on Daily Wager, and Joe took Philly. Preston took Philly. I just look at him. I go, of all the games, over-unders, props, and stuff, you're actually going to bet this Eagles team on the road getting less than 3. Like, what are I look at him like, what are you thinking? I know it's Cleveland.
No Garrett for Cleveland. I don't know. I we did see some sharp guys taking 3.5 and 3 with Philadelphia. And that number came down to 2.5. But you shouldn't be taking that game at Philadelphia plus 2.5. At that point, it was gone.
Eagles played okay too. They had the fumble on the one, I believe it was, but like they played better than I thought they would.
Yeah, I mean that score might have been a little misleading. Although they did get a late touchdown, Philadelphia to cover teasers. Philadelphia is just a mess. I mean they really are.
I can't bet them or Baltimore the rest of the year. I just can't.
We're going to be backing them pretty heavily on Monday night, I can tell you that.
Yeah, it was good. It's going to be interesting to see how Seattle, because Philly could hit him in the mouth, so to speak, could play tough and bring it. I just don't think Carson Wentz is very good at all.
Well, he certainly does. I mean, the numbers I saw, I think I saw somebody tweet today that he leads the league in fumbles, sacks taken, and interceptions. That can't be right. I could have sworn I saw that on Twitter. That doesn't even seem possible that one individual could lead all three of those categories.
That is the season of the NFC East and the Philadelphia Eagles. Yeah. All right, let's
If Philadelphia wins this game, they'll be in first place. So it's crazy. It's crazy.
Naturally. Okay, let's get to the bonanza.
It's time for Baby Bankroll Bonanza.
All right, we put the intern to a lot of work. He had a lot of math to do. My money line parlay, he had to figure that out.
Yeah.
Also had a live bet. So the big position I took on Seattle did not get there in terms of the middle. I played it back on Twitter, so I lost the playback. But you had Seattle nicely done, so you win. You owe 2 for 2. What was your other play?
I picked Denver. Denver against Miami. I just thought that that number was a little high.
Yeah.
Although – Drew Lock is a scary situation. I didn't feel good about rooting for Drew Lock. That guy, I got no confidence in that kid.
All right, so well done there. You are plus 1050 for the season. You're up. You won a dime, so you're up 1050. I won 1575, according to Darren's math. So I'm now back in the black. So I'm plus 125. So
who's fact checking this intern of ours?
I'll have to go back. I want him to get the, give him some space and let him kind of do it on his own, and then I'll fact check.
With Darren's help, we may get that chicken. That's fine. I trust this kid. I got a good feeling about this guy.
I almost pulled a Prince of Props last night right before kickoff and took the Brady under, but I did not in terms of the bonanza. So We're good, though. I made a move, though. I made a move. I had to get some get back in the black. So, Murray, you're on the tee box first. What do you got for me?
Well, I'm gonna talk to my buddy, the Prince. Oh, yeah, he's getting a little old for that moniker, by the way. I mean, I think he's got to be 36 by now. I mean, he definitely is. He's getting a little old for that moniker, but I'll talk to him tomorrow. I'll tweet something out. For my own personal play, I'm going to go homer here. I'm going to take the football group +3. And you can get that at +3, -110 at a couple different places here in Las Vegas, William Hill, South Point. So I'll do that for 550 to win 500. Washington football team +3.
All right, I'm going to go to Thursday as well. I'm not sure this game will be played, but as of now, it's on the board. I'm going to put two dimes on the Steelers -4. May play back, may not. We'll see. See how much the tryptophan is sinking in at 20 Eastern. Hey,
famous last words, but I fully expect that game to be played. Now, there might be guys out for Baltimore, but the NFL seems to always figure out ways to get their games in. That's going to be a very big game for TV ratings, Thanksgiving night with 10-0 Pittsburgh. I have a hunch that they'll figure out a way to get the game in.
You're probably right. You're probably right. What else you got for us? Anything?
That's it this week. I'll have something from the Prince Wednesday night, although this time we won't be drunk at a bar. So my words might actually make sense this year. The one plus for me not going home for Thanksgiving.
Good.
Halftime.
What's that noise? We'll have to edit that out.
That's the Don Best scream.
Okay, sorry. All right, so 5-4-3. But does that mean you don't get to see your little pug?
Yeah, no, unfortunately. We
LeVar, right?
Yeah, LeVar. Yeah, the travel restrictions making it impossible to travel this year.
Halftime.
Which sucks because I like going home for Thanksgiving. You know, everybody drinks pretty hard on Wednesday night. And then on Thursday, we go to my mom's house. And my brother cooks for everybody. It's fun. But at least this year, I won't be ruining Thanksgiving with a Lions bet.
Yes.
I'm not doing that this year. I can't. Like, I would usually bet a couple games before I hopped on the plane. And then I'd be sitting there like, why the hell did I bet the Lions again? I'm not doing that.
Halftime.
I'll stick with the Washington team.
So the audio, you should mention what this audio is, the guy saying halftime.
Oh, that's just the Don Best screen. It must be some soccer games going to halftime.
Halftime.
Wow, they're going crazy. I can mute that for next week's episode. But
okay.
Well, yeah, it goes crazy during college basketball season, as you guys can imagine. Right now it looks like some soccer games are going to halftime.
Yeah, you're going to have college basketball soon, too. So a lot of moving parts. But it's good. That was very authentic, Murray, the odds maker during the workday. I do have another play. I'm going to put three dimes on Seattle -5.5. I anticipate playing back, but I like me some Seahawks in that game.
All right, my man. Great catching up, as always. Good to bang this out.
I want winners.
Okay, and thanks to Mr. Executive Director. Maybe I'll be seeing him this holiday, but want to thank everyone for downloading. Hope this helped you maybe on a commute or a drive for the holiday, but just wishing everyone a happy Thanksgiving and appreciate everyone's listening and tuning in and downloading and all that fun stuff, rating and reviewing. So thanks to everyone. We'll see you back here next week as we continue to evolve the format here on the Behind the Bets podcast.